Just lift your hands to the Lord. Just in your own words, say, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Oh, we love you. We thank you for your presence, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for being here with your people. Oh, we invite you completely, Lord Jesus, your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, may the eyes of the Father smile upon these people tonight. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you. We love you, Lord. Everything we do is for you, Jesus. Our lives belong to you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you and we worship you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Oh, we lift up your name and exalt you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Sweet presence of the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Gerald, would you go ahead and open in prayer?
Father, we're so thankful for your presence that has already filled this room tonight, Lord. Thankful for each and every one that's here tonight, Father. Right now, Lord, I'm thanking you for what is about to take place here tonight, Father. Realizing, Lord, that Jesus is the reason that we're here tonight. Each and every one, Father, whatever it may be tonight, be their need, their heart's desire. Father, I thank you by the Holy Spirit it will be fulfilled in each and every life tonight. Father, I thank you that Gary has your wisdom. He's led by your Spirit. The manifestation of your Spirit, Lord, will flow through him in a mighty way. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Realize, Father, without you, that nothing can be done. And realize, Father, without you, there's no need to do anything. May this be your service, Father. May things go according to thy will and not ours. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all the people say together,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time we worship and Gerald praise, I feel like I already had church. Church, as Dave would say. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I never know. I hope I made enough. I made 40 of these. I don't know. So, they're already collated, so now listen carefully. Take the top three pages and pass it on. Let me start another one going around this way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Make sure we got everything going here. Yep, we're in business. Hallelujah. God, it's good for everybody to be here. You know how precious it is in the sight of the Lord? Many of y'all think you came here tonight and you're going to leave with money. No. How many of you came tonight to be entertained? No. No. There's only one reason why people in America would come out on a Thursday night like this. And I, for benefit of the tape, I mean, we're just wall-to-wall human beings in this place. I mean, really, you know. There's only one reason, and that's because you're hungry for God. You're hungry to hear His voice. God, I pray you hear Him tonight, not me. If you hear me tonight, you won't get helped, you know. If you hear Him, you will be helped. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah. I praise your name, Jesus. How many of y'all were here last week? Raise your hand, please. You know, that was kind of a special anointing, and I'm looking forward to more services like that. And, you know, boot camp, what we're doing here right now is called boot camp. And, Miss, do you have a boot camp manual? Do you have one of these red ring binders you see everybody with? Okay. Well, there's one for you, and there's one for you. And anyone else not have one? And I don't mean didn't bring yours. I mean don't have one. Who? Oh, one here. Give one to her when she gets back. Hallelujah. I think they're nearly up to date. I don't know if these that I just handed out have last week's or not, but if you stay afterwards, we'll get you all caught up. Of course, there's tapes that go with each lesson. But anyway, we've been doing boot camp, and the whole reason that... that the Lord said, do this, he started giving me comparison between World War II, where we trained an army in short time to go defeat the Germans. And if we would have, if that army would have been trained like the church is training their army today, we'd all be speaking German now. I would be Gerhard Zimmermann. That's Gary Carpenter in German. And I asked a German man one time, he told me that, and I said, well, what would, my wife's name Sue, what would her name be in Germany? In German, he said, Sue. I said, oh, okay. Anyone not get a handout? We got one extra, I think.
Got an extra.
Okay, well, just hang on to them. If somebody, pass that back to Angie. And if somebody, oh, okay, all right, well, just enough then. Hallelujah. But anyway, last week was special. Did y'all notice that, how tenderly the Lord was here? And I think it was partly, I mean, he just loves to do that for one thing. But boot camp's been a little rough. Have y'all noticed that? Now, what's funny, different ones of you come to me afterwards, or I'll see you the next day at church, and you'll say, boy, he's been nailing my hide to the wall, you know. And what you don't know is about 14 other people told me that same thing. Each of you think it's just you, see, but it's all of us. But then after several weeks of that, then last week he came in such a sweet presence. I about half cried through the whole thing. Anointing was so strong on me, you know. And then Angie at the end sang that song. Andy started us off in worship, and Angie finished it up in worship. It was just, I loved it myself. I absolutely did. But I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, can we do that again tonight? Back to boot camp. All right. Here we go. All right. Now, got your lessons? The title of tonight is Obtaining Promises. Here is the question of the ages. I put it in italics, the very first thing. When it all boils down to it, here's the question. How does a person receive from God? In one form or another, I mean, if y'all lived here at our house with Sue and I, And you heard the phone calls that came in here, which there's a lot of phone calls, not just from this area, but all over the country now. I mean, it's amazing to me what God can do, you know. Yeah. Don't ever try and build a ministry. I'm telling you right now, once you get hooked up with God, you'll be running to try and stay up with the ministry He's building. It's something else. We get calls from Pennsylvania and Virginia and Oregon and Florida and besides just, you know, the other ones. Okay, going back to the paper, in one form or another, though, every one of those questions really boils down to the same one. How does a person receive from God? Because somehow they've got into a problem and they don't know how to get their answer, see? So in one form or another, that is the question that is most often asked of ministers of the gospel, isn't it, Daisy?
Yeah.
All the time. Now, most born-again people that go to a good Spirit-led church will agree that God is love. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
And that He demonstrated that love by sending Jesus to the cross to die for them as a substitute for their punishment. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Amen, see? Mentally, they say things like, well, I know God loves me, Gary. I know Jesus shed His blood for me. I know I'm forgiven. I know God has all power and is able to do anything. Yet, when it comes to their daily lives, if they'll be honest, most of them will also say, well, I just can't seem to get Him to use His power on my behalf. Now, I'm going to be real nice and not ask for a show of hands. Hallelujah. Well, I'll raise mine. I've been there so often. How do y'all think I know what I'm teaching? I've been there. I had to find out. See, I had to find out. And when God, especially the instructions He gave Sue and I when we went full time, He said, don't take up any offerings. It already told me not to hold a secular job, either one of us. He said, don't take up any offerings, don't sell any tapes. When you mail things out, buy all the mailers, pay for all the postage yourself. Don't put in a return envelope. And, oh, by the way, don't ever let another human being know any need that you ever have. Diana was asking me tonight, she was saying, what do y'all need for the ministry, you know? And but without thinking, I almost started to tell her a few things. I mean, nothing, you know, just... And I went, oops, can't do that. You're going to have to find out from the Holy Ghost if you want to sow into this ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because I'm not allowed to do that. Now, when you're in that situation, question number one here, do you think I had to find out how does a person receive from God or not? I mean, we had to find out, and we had to find out yesterday. Okay? You know? I had to find out yesterday. All right, now watch. Here we go back to this. I'm going to read that one sentence again. When it comes to their daily lives, if they will be honest, most of them will also say, I just can't seem to get Him, God, to use His power on my behalf. Now, to be very precise, I want to make sure nobody misunderstands what I'm talking about. What I mean is this. Even though they say, I know God loves me, I know Jesus shed His blood for me, I know I'm forgiven, I know God has all power and is able to do anything, yet here's the real situation. To be very precise, their financial bills remain unpaid, their bodies remain sick, their marriages remain a place of strife, their minds remain in a state of torment and fear, and their children continue to run after the world instead of God. The question is, why? Now, I cannot improve on the words spoken by the prophet Hosea when God spoke through him saying, and here it is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. Now, in plain English, you know, I'm from Pottawatomie County. We tell things plain. We like it simple. Okay? I'm not trying to impress anybody with a Harvard accent. You understand what I'm saying? In plain talk, that means people do not receive from God because they don't know how. There was a time when I did not know how to do the design work, engineering design work, to build a bridge. I went to Oklahoma State University, and after 4 years of intensive study and me doing all my homework and passing the courses, I know how. Now, it doesn't mean there was anything wrong with me before I went there. I had the same mind before, and I have the same mind now. What I didn't have was the knowledge. Now, once I got the knowledge, then I could do it. Okay, after tonight, and everyone say tonight.
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 This night.
This night.
After tonight.
After tonight.
I will have the knowledge.
I will have the knowledge.
To receive.
To receive.
Anything.
Anything.
From God.
From God.
Now, I did not say you would do it. But you're going to have the knowledge. You are at least going to know how to do it, and I mean nuts and bolts, right down in fine detail before you leave here tonight. You're not going to have to come 4 years. This is boot camp. You're going to know how to do it tonight. Are you excited about that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I know some of you are receiving from God. Hey, I'm receiving from God in some areas. You know there's some areas I still need to learn how to receive from God in. But the principle is the same in any area. All right? You with me? All right, here we go. Here we go. Now, this next thing. Okay, the question again, you know, people do not receive from God because they don't know how. Now, this next statement might sound almost silly to you. It might sound so simple like, hey, I didn't come here for this. But it's actually the answer as to why people don't receive from God. You want to know? Here it is. Y'all see it on your page, don't you? Man is not permitted to make up his own gospel. Most people that are not receiving from God, they've made up their own gospel. They're believing stuff that God never said. They're doing it their way. And now, I'm not saying that they invented it. They probably got trained that way in some church. Okay? But still, it's not God's way. See? There's only one gospel of God. I think I got that on here. This is God's gospel. He designed it. It is perfect. Everyone say, it is perfect.
It is perfect.
Now, get this. It's perfect, and it works 100% of the time when it is operated correctly. Everyone say 100%.
100%.
That means every time.
That means every time.
That means no failure.
That means no failure.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not once.
Not once.
Never.
Never.
I win.
I win.
The devil loses.
The devil loses.
Every time.
Every time.
That's God's plan.
That's God's plan.
After tonight.
After tonight.
I know how to work it.
I know how to work it.
Okay, y'all ready for some victory?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what you train armies for, you know. I'm going to change the words a little bit. How many of y'all saw the movie Patton? You know, Patton? Patton, P-A-T-T-O-N. It's about, I mean, he was the most famous general of World War II. Now I'm going to change the words a little bit. But I love, Pat Cole said I better. I love that very first scene. I mean, here he is, he comes walking up on that podium, you know, and they got that giant flag behind him. And he's addressing the troops. And I can't repeat the whole thing, but I remember this one line. He says, winning a war, you don't win a war by you dying for your country. You win a war by making that other SOB die for his country.
Amen.
Well, now there it is, okay? And that's the truth.
Yep.
See, that's the truth. Jesus did not come and fight all of the hordes of hell, suffer what he did on the cross, bear your sin, bear your poverty, bear your sickness in order for the devil to win.
That's right.
He intends for his church to be victorious. He said, my Bible says the devil is under our feet, and that's just exactly where we're supposed to keep him. I like that deal. It says, if you want to talk to the devil, write a message to him on the bottom of your shoes. Because that's where he is. See? Now, the church sings songs about that. And, honey, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. We got one right over here. If you can step through Larry there. We got one right through yonder. Right. Praise God for our bigger house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But anyway, just like Patton said, we're not ever... I mean, God does sometimes call people to be martyrs. Did you know that's victory? Really, it is for the gospel's sake. But most people develop that kind of a complex to where they almost feel like they're supposed to be beat down and things aren't supposed to go right and all that stuff. No, you started dying for your country now. No. You are supposed to win victorious every time over anything the devil throws at you all the time. That's why Jesus died. That's why he paid that price. And it's all available to us if we can ever get free of religion.
Amen.
That's what it is. I'm telling you, it's nothing but the way we think. The victory is ours for the taking. How are you liking his sword so far, Andy? Hallelujah. He said, he told me last night coming out of church, he says, bring out the big sword tomorrow night. I need the big one. Hallelujah. All right, this is God's gospel. God designed it. It is perfect. It works 100% of the time when it is operated correctly. Now get this, but it never works. Never. Did y'all see that? Never. If man decides on his own to change it. You're not allowed to change the gospel. You're not allowed to have your own ideas about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Your job is to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and pray in the Holy Ghost till he explains to you what it means.
Amen.
And then you receive that as truth and walk in it. You are never, ever allowed to change it. And if you do change it, God's not obligated at all to perform his word for you. God honors his gospel, not yours.
Amen.
Not man's. Now let me just... I listed a few things here as to how man has changed it. Here are some ways that man has changed the gospel. Number one, you must beg God to bless you. Oh, that's been in Christian circles. Don't just blame the Catholics either. I mean, it's been in the Baptists, it's been in the Pentecostal, it's been in all of them. Oh, God, you know. We're just, you know. I like, you know, Kenneth Copeland helped me right in the beginning on that. Just, I think, better than about anybody. Because one day he was making fun of that attitude. And he says, now here you're a son. Of course, by that time I had daughters getting on, you know, teenage daughters. And, so I could relate to this. He says, okay, picture this. You're a son. And you come into your earthly daddy's house. I mean, you're a son. You know, and there's some Snicker bars up there on the counter. And you'd like to have one. He says, now if you operated with your earthly father the way most people operate with God, you would go and fall to your knees in front of your earthly father. And say, oh, most beloved father of mine, I am your unworthy son. Durst thou not knowest that I love Snicker bars? Oh, Father, I'm not worthy that thou should even think of giving me a Snicker bar, but oh, Father, could I at least lick the wrapper? Now, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? He says, what does a son do? You come in, hey, Dad, can I have a Snicker bar? Yeah, go ahead. Thanks. You know? You'll take it. My daughters come in now. I mean, if they're, you know, open the refrigerator and leftover pizza. Glory to God. It's pizza time. Hallelujah. You know, now what would I think if they come over, fell on their knees? Oh, God, you know. Oh, Father, durst thou not knowest? Give me a break, you know. That kind of gospel will never work. You are not beggars. You are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Get that begging stuff out of your mind forever. It will not work. It never has worked. It won't work the next time I see you. Okay? Get that begging stuff out. Number two, here's another way man has changed the gospel. And boy, they don't word it like this, but this is what they're preaching. You must become perfect before God will bless you. I mean, that's man's idea of the gospel. If you're on that path, honey, I'm telling you what, God is never going to use you. If you're doomed to failure already, because if God only uses perfect people, He's not going to use anybody. I only know one perfect one. They crucified Him when He was 33 years old now, okay? And I mentioned the other last Saturday, I'm going to mention it again because it's such a perfect example. How would any of y'all, how would y'all like for God to be using you right now to the point that when your shadow fell on sick people, they got healed? Can I see a show of hands on that? Okay. Do y'all understand God used Peter that way? When Peter was so goofed up that he still thought at that moment only Jews could be saved, all non-Jewish people went to hell and there wasn't anything you could do about it.
Yep. Wow.
He believed that when God was using him to that strength. Not only that, God used him for years, and then later on, Paul had to go correct Peter. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Paul had to go correct him. Of course, now he straightened up. God had been using Peter in miracles for years. So it's not Bible that you have to be perfect for God to use you. You know what is required? You got to have faith in the perfect one that's on the inside of you. His name is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. He's the one perfect, and your job is to believe that God will use Him through your earthen vessel. Glory, Gary, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. And I can't ask Andy to run. We're going to get somebody hurt. Hallelujah. I said that last week. Boy, he was gone. Hallelujah. But that's another. Get that out of your mind forever. That's man's idea of the gospel. It's not the Bible. There are no perfect people that I can find in the Bible.
Come on.
Okay?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dear God. Yeah. Item three. Here's another way man has changed God's gospel. God blesses you based on your performance. Oh, yeah, that's all the time. All the time, you know. Well, you know, the way you get God to bless you, you know, you got to have perfect church attendance, and I believe in going to church, but that's got nothing to do with God blessing you. Okay? God forbid you ever lose your temper. I mean, God forbid that, you know. How about God forbid you ever miss Him? Did y'all remember my story about the $17?
Yeah.
I missed him, and I missed him big to Tammy right there. See? Now, he went ahead and took care of her, but I missed the blessing. And mainly what hurt is that I missed him. Well, what do you do in a case like that? Well, now I miss God, and I'm going to have to repent. I'm going to have to be in sackcloth and ashes for 2 years until I feel worthy again. That's pride. That's pride. That's pride. You go to the blood. You go to the blood right now. You don't be waiting 2 years. You go to the blood, get last week's tape and listen to it till you believe it.
Amen.
You go to the blood and you don't be waiting. I used to have to wait 2 weeks before I could feel like God loved me again. And I finally figured out all the devil was doing every time I missed it was stealing 2 weeks from me. Because I could go right to the blood as soon as I realized I missed it. Father, I missed it. I'm sorry. And even if I missed it knowingly, what do y'all think that blood's for? It's for us. And it never, like last week, it never loses its power. Go get cleansed. Get back in the fight. We need you on the front lines, troops. Hallelujah. Be cowering back there listening to the devil tell you how you missed God.
Oh, come on.
Dear Lord, you missed him. Go get cleansed. Get back in the fight. Hallelujah. God does not bless you based on your performance. He blesses you based on Jesus' performance.
Amen.
Dear God, put your faith in him. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. Four, here's another way. Man has changed the gospel. This has to do with that humility, that false religious humility thing. It is prideful to ask God to bless you. You know, and a lot of people, honest, what I mean is they love God people. They really think that it's wrong. You know, they say, well, God just bless me and my four, no more. What they, you know, they don't put it quite that way, but what they're saying is, you know, I don't really want a whole lot. We don't need a whole lot of things. We just, you know, just enough to get by. And how about some extra? How about believing in some extra for all those homeless people we're bussing in every Sunday down there? You know? How about believing in some extra so we can send Pastor Dave to Japan and get about 50 million people saved? See? It is not prideful to ask God to bless you. God sent Jesus to the cross so he could bless you. Amen. Now, you don't be... I think it is wrong. Hallelujah. I better phrase this real carefully. People send money from all over the country here now. We don't ever ask them. We don't sell nothing. God just talks to them. Now, there is something wrong. If widows... One of, I'll tell you about Patty. I won't say her last name. Lady named Patty. She's 70-some-odd years old. Lives in Duncan, Oklahoma. Sent me $20. Now, I'm telling you straight out, there's something wrong for me to take that $20. And just squander it.
That's right.
Squander it on nothing. She sent that $20 because she believes this is good soil.
Amen. Right.
Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, God expects us to live decent. Obviously, some of that money goes to pay the light bill. Are you guys glad we got lights in here?
Yeah.
It goes to make cakes, and it goes to do whatever has to be done, okay? We live off of that. God wants us living well. That's fine.
That's right.
But now you can cross the line there, too.
Amen.
You can cross the line there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But this old stuff about it's prideful to ask God to... I'll tell you what really happens. To be honest with you, I've got... Okay? To be honest with you, if Sue and I were thinking now the way we used to think, we could probably buy a house pretty easy to meet our needs. But when you start really seeking first the kingdom... I tell you what happens when you start seeking first the kingdom, God starts getting other people on your mind.
Amen.
So every decision I make now, I have you on my mind and all the people that are yet to come here. So now my thinking goes, Lord, the kind of house that would have satisfied or worked for just Sue and I is not adequate for your kingdom purposes. Sue and I have been living in this house for 13 years and it's done the job fine. Do you all think it's doing the job fine now?
No.
I think we're limited here. Don't you? God wants to do more than he's doing right now. Okay? It's not prideful for me to ask him for a better, bigger house. I need it. I need it for the gospel's sake. It's not prideful when I ask him for equipment in there. I mean, these, you know, equipment to produce the gospel on tapes and paper to be mailed to people all over the country that, I mean, you don't know how dead it is in parts of this country. When Sue and I went to Maine, I mean, we went for days and never saw anything like any of these. We didn't see one Pentecostal church. We didn't see one charismatic church. We didn't see anything that said fellowship on the end of it. You know, all we saw was the old, and I don't want to name names, but the dead, formal, denominational type religion. You're never going to see a devil cast out there. You're never going to see anybody saved, hardly. Nobody gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's cold and dead. Those people have to get messages from Oklahoma.
Amen.
Or somewhere, you know, and bless God, it's not wrong for me to ask for equipment, you know, or whatever I need. I mean, that's what God's trying to do is get the word to those people. Hallelujah. You start getting your mind seeking first the kingdom of God, what he's wanting you to be doing in the earth. You'll start thinking like Jesus and, you know, you'll have people on your mind and it's going to change what you ask for. And it's not pride. You need it in order to do what he's called you to do. I better speed up or we're going to be in trouble. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Item four. Now, oh, God. Item, how many four? I got two fours. Oh, okay. 4B. Hallelujah. All right, I'll change this on the next printout. But anyway, here's the next one. Oh, God, I heard this. You should just accept, be humble now. You should just accept everything that comes your way, parentheses, car wrecks, sickness, disaster in your life, tornadoes, you know, termites, I don't care. Everything that comes your way, you're just supposed to accept that as being God and simply trust that He is working all things together for your good. How many of y'all have heard something along that line growing up? Dear God, now that's a classic example. They've lifted a verse out of Romans 8, out by itself, disconnected it from the surrounding verses, and now see there, that car wreck was good for you. Well, that was just God, you know, humbling you, see, you know, because God needed to teach you something, you old flaky thing. Now, one of my oldest but favorite tapes, is called What Is God Like? Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He says, if you want to know what God the Father's like, look at me. Let me ask you guys, did you ever see Jesus causing any chariot wrecks?
No.
Did you ever see Jesus walking around going, all right, it's cancer for you, because you have been prideful and you need humbling. Can you imagine Jesus doing something like that?
Never.
Dear God, that's religion to the max. Don't ever listen to that stuff. That's the devil preaching through men. And I don't care if it's your brother doing the preaching. I'm telling you the truth anyway. Now, that's the devil. Jesus is not like that, and God is not like that. That the Bible, the truth is, all persecution, all affliction, all of those cares of the world, all that trouble that comes into your life comes for one reason and not two. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, all of that comes to steal the word. That's why it comes. It's coming because of the devil. My Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. That other stuff is not perfect gifts. It's the devil coming to choke the word out of you. Don't listen to no preacher that says it is God either. All right? So, oh, man's... I mean, I just listed a few here. We could go on for pages about how, you know, man makes up his own gospel and then asks why there's no power of God in his life. See? All right, here's the next one since I got the numbers wrong. Well, just hope and pray that He'll bless you. Well, we're just a hoping and a praying. Well, you'll be a failing too. God doesn't work by hoping and a praying. If you haven't figured that out yet, you better figure it out. Well, I'm just a hoping and a praying that God's going to do something. He ain't going to. I'm telling you now, forget it. That's not the way the gospel works. Somebody told you a lie. Hoping and a praying. Well, I just, you know, my hope's in God. Really? What are you hoping for? Well, we're just hoping and a praying. No, it doesn't work like that. It never has worked like that. God does not honor nonchalant, unspecific faith. God honors His Word and faith in His Word. And when you come to pray for something specific, you believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have it. This vague notion of, well, we're just a hoping and a praying. I mean, God will do something. Well, that isn't going to work. God's already done everything He's going to do at the cross.
Amen.
That's a whole message in itself. But the fact of it is, He told me one time, and I saw a vision at the same time I saw it. Can y'all picture a timeline? I'm holding up for benefit of the tape. I'm holding my fingers right out in front of me here. And I'm drawing a line in time. Okay? I'm stretching out my arms like this. Let's say this is Abraham. This is us today. Okay? And right in the center is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit told me one time, He said, grace is the fountain from which all the springs of salvation flow. Abraham was drawing on the grace of the cross before the cross. We are drawing on the grace of the cross after the cross. But it's that cross, that's the fountain, that is the grace of God from which all the springs of salvation flow. You put your faith specifically in what that cross bought for you, and you'll have it every time. You give some kind of vague hoping and a wishing and a praying stuff, you're not going to make your connection with God.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that more specifically in a minute, that one. Oh, it seems so humble. Well, you know, we're just hoping and praying that God will do something.
Yeah.
Well, don't you be doing that. Don't you be doing that. Six. And this is the worst one of all. I think this is the most deceptive one of all. Well, God will bless me. You know, He'll bless you if He wants to.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hear this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you hear there's a flood coming down the creek and you live right, your house is right on the creek. And I heard this not long ago from somebody. And have you heard there's a flood coming? Yeah, I heard about that. You want to do anything about protecting your house? Nope. Why not? Well, it's God's house. If He wants it to flood, if He wants it to be washed down the creek, it's up to Him. No, it's not up to Him. He made you steward over that house and gave you authority on this earth. You can stop that storm just like Jesus stopped the one in the boat, but it's not going to happen if you just think, well, maybe God will save my house and maybe He won't. There is no faith in that. There is no faith in that at all. See, God, it translates to this. Well, God will heal me if He wants to. But let me ask you this. Did God save you? You're just going to wait around and hope God saves you something? You're walking down the street going to Walmart carrying a sack of groceries or something. And you're just waiting for God just to fall on you and save you? Did it happen that way for you? You had something to do with it, didn't you? See? Well, it's the same way here. You can't be going, I hear it all the time. God will heal me if He wants to. And if He doesn't, well, you know, He's God. Yeah, He's God. He's sovereignly provided your healing. He is the sovereign God. You're not forcing Him to do nothing. He chose sovereignly to provide healing for you at the cross. Now, it's completely up to you whether you ever receive it. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Receiving your blessing from God. Whether it be in the financial realm, whether it be in the marital realm, whether it be you ever finding out your real call in the kingdom of God, whether it be in the realm of healing, whether it be in the realm of joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, anything, it all depends on you. Because God sovereignly has already provided it all. Hallelujah. God provided all my houses 2,000 years ago. Do you know that?
Amen.
If I sit around and say, well, God will send me a house if He wants to. He already said He's provided all of my need, didn't He?
Yes.
Jesus already bore my... past tense, did Jesus already bear my poverty? So that I, through His poverty, could be rich?
Amen.
I mean, He bore my poverty that I deserved as an old sinner. He bore that. He bore the curse of it so that I could have free access to all the resources of heaven. Isn't that right?
Yes.
He's already done it, right? You think it's up to me now to receive that grace? See, but religion, man-made religion says, well, God will bless you if He wants to. And if He doesn't, tough luck on you. Well, now that would make Him a respecter of persons. And God is no respecter of persons. Whether you know this or not, did you know God doesn't honor Stacy? No. God doesn't honor John, since he's going by. God does not honor Daisy. What I mean by that, He doesn't say, well, I just like Daisy. I just like the cut of her jib. There's just something about Daisy I like, and who's real nice here. There's something about Annie I don't. I'm going to bless Daisy, and I'm not going to bless Annie. Y'all think that's God?
No.
He does not make distinctions like that. He is love. He loves us all the same. Now, you might watch from a distance and see Daisy continually getting blessed, and maybe Annie's not. And you might, you know, come to the conclusion that's where they do it, by watching circumstances. Say, well, God just loves Daisy. Well, see, they don't know anything about the hours that Daisy spent at night praying in other tongues and worshiping God, calling, you know, claiming these promises as her own and all of that. They don't know anything about that. All they see is the end result. So they think, well, God must be a respecter of persons. No, He's not. If you know how, again, the subject tonight is obtaining the promises. Or I thought about calling it how to receive from God. If you know how, you can. And if you don't know how, you can't. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What knowledge? They don't know how to receive. Hallelujah. Now, for a mere $300 a piece, we'll continue this lesson. I just have to do that. I like that. Hallelujah. No, 1,000 times no, none of those things are God's gospel. God's gospel does not work like that, none of those, and a bunch more we could list. It will never work like that. Never! You see all those exclamation points? Never! Get it out of your flaky brain forever. None of that works. It won't be working the next time I see you. If that's 10 years from now and you're following down one of those paths, it won't be working. Because it's not God's gospel. Now, most people follow down one or more of those man-made gospels their entire lives and die wondering. It's not that they don't love God. I'm talking about people that do love God. But somehow the devil got them channeled into one of these man-made things, see? And they die wondering, why didn't God use His power on my behalf? They find out when they wake up in heaven. They're going to be really shocked at what they find out, too. Don't be like them. In order to find out how God's gospel works, you have to go directly to the source.
Amen.
See? The Bible and the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible through men. That's the source. The Apostle Peter was one of those men. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you want to listen to somebody, listen to Peter.
Amen.
I like listening to Peter. For one thing, in fact, to be honest with you, I am confessing that the day will come when my shadow will fall on people and they'll be healed.
Amen.
I'm confessing that. You can do what you want. I am confessing that. How long have you been confessing it? About 3 years?
Amen.
About 3 years. How long are you going to keep on until it happens or I die?
Amen.
You know? But anyway, I like listening to Peter because it worked for him. He was able to walk in that level of glory. And God loved it. God loves it when we walk in that. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Hallelujah. Now what? That's what you think Peter's worth listening to?
Yeah.
You think he knew a little bit about receiving from God?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what he says here. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "According as His divine power hath," past tense, "hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Now stop right there for a minute, because I got to make this point. If you right now had everything that pertains to life, would most of your problems be solved? I mean, your daily life. All that stuff you'd like for God to fix. Peter's trying to tell you how to get it fixed. Because He's already, notice that past tense, that's why I said a while ago, at the cross, God has already given you everything that pertains to your life. Houses, husbands, wives, money, health, godly children.
Hallelujah.
He's already provided everything. It says hath. Look at it again. His divine power hath. Past tense. He's already done it. Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now that godliness part, that's all that stuff that you're wondering, why am not I more like God? How come I lose my temper so quick? Isn't there something I can do about this ungodly part of me? Godliness just means the opposite of ungodliness, okay? It means God has made available to you the ability to be godly. Everyone say godly.
Godly.
Godly means like God.
Godly means like God.
See, that's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. I think I got them all. Anyway, if we had all of that, see, that's all available. He said hath, hath. You mean it's already mine? Yeah. You can't tell by looking? No. But He's made it available to you. But see, we don't know how to receive that stuff from God. Well, that's going to change after tonight.
Hallelujah.
You'll know how to get it. All right? So I wanted you to see that. And notice it's through the knowledge of Him. Now what did Hosea say? My people perish for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
Now you're getting knowledge tonight.
Yeah.
See? My people aren't perishing for a lack of inspiration. Trust me, you've got inspiration to be here on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock in America. You've got zeal for God. That's not what's causing you to perish. It's not for a lack of inspiration. It's perishing for a lack of information. Okay, we're getting some information. We're getting it from Peter, straight from the book. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that, underlined, by these. By these what? What's the subject?
Great and precious
promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. By these, you might be partakers of the divine nature.
Yes.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through what now? What? Yeah, but now, by these what? Exceeding great and precious promises. Now, what does he mean by that? Let's get down to nuts and bolts here. You get God to move on your behalf with his power by these exceeding great and precious promises. Now, you get God to move on your behalf with his power by these exceeding great and precious promises. I'll just keep on going here. You can keep on begging, crying, trying to earn God's blessings the rest of your life or however one of those other paths you want to go. But it will never work because those are man-made ideas about God. Peter said that God has already given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Parentheses. That pretty well covers your case, doesn't it?
Amen.
If you had right now in your possession everything that pertains to life and godliness, let's pick on my friend here for a minute and be honest, my spirit is so far. Patrick, thank God. Thank you, Lord. I can't hardly remember my own name. Let's take Patrick here. Patrick's a good man. He works, takes care of his family, and he prays. Okay, I admire a man like that. And Patrick is here after working all day to find out about God, see? Because he wants to know more, not only how to provide for his family, but how to serve his God. I admire a man like that. All right, but now, we'll just take Patrick. This may come as a shock to you guys. Patrick's not perfect. Patrick himself would tell you he's working on some of that godliness part. I imagine Patrick, if he's like the rest of us, and I haven't talked with Pat. I'm just picking on Patrick because he's my friend. But if we got to talking, he'd probably say, you know, I'm still having some problems with my temper once in a while. I mean, I know God is not like that. And and then also he lies a little bit. Just a little bit. You know. And how about no patience? No, you know, get patience. All of us could do that. I'm using Patrick. But see, all of those traits in us, that's the ungodly part. But did you notice it says that he's provided everything for life and godliness? Even those kind of things? You mean it's possible to walk with attributes like God? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith? Glory to God. And Peter says, and the scary part is, Peter says God gave them all to you 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And we're going, why don't we have them? Lack of knowledge. Don't know how. Just flat don't know how, and you can't get it if you don't know how. Okay, here we go. Love you, Gary. Boot camp. Don't be so hard on me. Drop your dukes. I love you, honest I do. Hallelujah. Love you too. Hallelujah. But if you already had everything that pertained to life and godliness, that would pretty well cover your case, doesn't it? Peter says you get it one way and not two. By these promises. You see that? It's by these promises. Now, it's by these promises that we partake of the divine nature. I didn't know for years what that meant. What does that mean? Well, what is God's nature? The whole reason Jesus came. See, the Pharisees, all the religious leaders, they were all they knew was the God of Moses. Well, God's a God of judgment. God's a God of law. God's a God of, you know, vengeance. And that's all they knew. And then Jesus come and he's going, God is a father. They couldn't relate to that at all. And they rejected Jesus. And that's why they never could see God as a father. But Jesus plainly said, in fact I quoted it here, Jesus said to him, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The nature of a father, how many fathers we got in this room? Okay? I'll get a big witness out of this. The nature of a father is a father provides for his children.
Amen.
By the way, you know why they call them grandchildren? Where your own children cost you $100? $100? Those are going to cost you a grand. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't end this providing thing just because. Okay. But isn't that the nature of a father? A good father. Now, in America today, the devil's done everything he can to destroy that image of a father. I mean, we got a 50% divorce rate or something like that, and then most fathers are, not most, but a vast bunch of them, big bunch of them, drink up the money that they earn during the week. There's nothing left. They don't provide for their families. You know, that we have a generation, a scary generation growing up fatherless. Fatherless. See? Why? The devil's trying to destroy the very concept of a godly father. Because kids growing up I had a good father, thank God. My O.R. Carpenter is one good father, I'll tell you for sure. He was a provider. He had his faults like any other man. He's still alive. He has his faults like any other man. You know, but my father, one thing I know about my father, he was a provider. He was a provider. See, a lot of kids growing up today don't even have a concept of that. But God, see, the nature of a father is he provides for his children. God, our Father, has already provided everything that any of his children, everyone say, that means me.
That means me.
Anything you'd ever need, God's already provided it, see. And if you're ever going to start receiving from God your Father, you're going to have to do it one way, not two. You have to learn how to receive from him by these exceeding great and precious promises. You're going to have to learn how to do it. The knowledge of God. How to do it. Alright? There is no other way. God does not allow any other way. God does not honor any other gospel but His.
Hallelujah.
All of the promises are free by grace through faith. That is how you receive from God. Period.
Yep.
Now, I used to get fighting mad after a while when I kept hearing preachers tell me that. Oh, yeah, they say, it's going to have it all, it's all been provided for you, and it's all free by grace. You know, it's free by grace through faith. And I'd want to slap them. Because I'd be going, I already know that. How do I do that?
Exactly.
Turn the page. Obtaining promises, action page. You obtain all the promises of God exactly the same way that you got saved in the first place. Did you get saved?
Amen.
I got good news for you. If you got saved, you can receive every promise from God. Because you receive every promise the same way you got saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, everyone touch your lips, the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now notice verse 9 says, confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. And then verse 10 just switches it and says, believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth. Had you ever noticed that? Now watch, that is the eternal cycle that obtains every promise of God in your life. Confessing with the mouth and believing in the heart. Believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth and blowing your nose. No, it's neither. That's all right. No problem. We'll have that healing line just here in a minute. Hallelujah. Can y'all see that cycle? You confess with your mouth and that starts building faith in your heart. And the more you start believing in your heart, you confess it with your mouth. And then you hear yourself confess it with your mouth and it's getting in your heart. That's the whole cycle. That's why he worded it one way in one verse, and the very next verse he worded it just the opposite. Because that's the cycle. Hallelujah. That's the cycle of how it operates. You got that? Confessing with the mouth. Oh, I said that. The first step to obtaining, now get this, step one. You can't take step two until you take step one. Okay? The first step to obtaining. You wanted to know how, right? How to do it. The first step, I'm telling you how, very specifically, to obtain every promise from God is to begin confessing it with your mouth. That's step one. Amos 3:3, can two walk together lest they be agreed? God is saying you're healed and you're walking saying you're sick. You are not walking with God. God's saying He has supplied all of your needs and you're telling everybody how you can't pay your light bill. You and God are not yet walking together. Okay? You're calling Tulsa saved. You're calling Tulsa saved and then talking to other people about how it's chanting. You and God are not walking together yet. Okay? This is God's way of doing it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Drop them prophet rocks. Hallelujah. That's how you start with every promise. Now, this is the nuts and bolts. If you learn how to do this, there is no such thing for you as an unanswered prayer. There is no such thing as that. Now, this page here is a practice page. This is your homework between now and next Thursday. Okay? This is your homework, but I want you to learn how to do this. I lost my place here. I have left, below I have typed, I just put three of these exceeding great and precious promises, okay? I have left room above them for you to write a confession from that promise, so that when you say it, you are saying it like it's already true in your life. Once you become good at this and are willing to spend time confessing them as present tense truth in your life, there is nothing the devil and all of hell can do to prevent you from obtaining every promise if you don't quit confessing it. Y'all remember my testimony about how I got saved? Too bad. I'm going to tell you again. The guy that led me to the Lord told me, he says, you don't ever base your faith on your feelings. You don't ever base your faith on anything you can see. You base your faith on what God has said. That's what faith is. It believes God's word. If God said it, that's it. Okay? End of all discussion. And he put my nose right in those two verses there, Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I did that at 2:00 in the morning, the 4th of July, 1980, in our living room. It was the deadest, driest, no emotion thing I ever did in my life. I didn't hear angels' wings. I didn't hear a heavenly choir. I didn't have one goosebump. I had not one emotion. I mean, I just did it, and it was the deadest thing that ever happened in my life. And immediately I heard a voice say, see, it didn't work for you. You've sinned too much. You're 33. You know what all you've done. You think God's going to forgive and save somebody like you? I mean, just yammer, 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 just immediately. You know, of course, I didn't really realize that, well, it was the devil. But those were the thoughts that came like machine gun bullets. Then I started getting a little suspicious when the voice said, besides that, you've got a headache. And I did. I hadn't noticed it till right then. But I did. And it said, if God loved you, He'd heal you of that headache. Now, see, I thought about it for just a moment. But thank God for a preacher that taught me faith. I remembered what Michael said. I got my Bible back and I said, let's see now. Has this changed? Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I have done that. Devil or whoever's talking to me, I'm telling you, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Him with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I am saved. Did I feel anything? No. Was the headache gone? No. I'm telling you, that battle went on all day long, and I went to bed feeling as lost as I ever did in my life. But I held to my confession. The next day, the instant my eyes opened, you're not saved. It didn't work for you. You've sinned too much, and you've still got a headache. And I did. And that battle went on all that day, and I thank God for the man that taught me faith believes God's word. And I said it again all that day, over and over. I believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and according to God's holy word from a God that cannot lie, I am saved. All day this went on. Horrible, most horrible 2 days of my life, if you want to know. I mean, it was war. And I'm telling you, had I given in at any time, the devil would have talked me out of my salvation. It would not have worked for me. I went to bed that night feeling as lost as I ever have in my life. How long was I going to do that? Till I died. See, I really don't have any quitting sense. Once I know what the truth is, once I know, if I made up my mind, if the feelings never came, if I never changed, I had made up my mind this was God's Word. I was going to say it. I was going to claim I was saved 50 years until I died or however long it was. But I'm telling you, thank God, that third morning. That third morning, when I woke up, the feelings came. And I have never been the same man since. Dave said to me one time, when we were starting this thing about the revival, he looked at me. Y'all might have heard him. He looked at me. I was up on the platform, and he says, "You were born for this hour." And I was. Looking back on it now, this is the way God birthed me into His kingdom. I thank God for people that have the emotions. That's fine. I mean, I've seen them get saved and sling snot for an hour. You know, hallelujah. Praise God, you know. That's fine, you know. Hallelujah. But I think God started off training me. See, I think He started me off. You can't tell me this doesn't work. My eternal life depended on me holding to God's Word with my mouth. I know this works. And I know the devil fought me tooth and nail for 2 days. But bless God, I didn't let go of the Word. God did not let go of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why I know it works. And I found out since then, I can get every promise from God the same way. Because Jesus paid the price for me to have it. All I have to do is begin agreeing with it, put it in my mouth and say it. It gets in my heart, then it gets in my mouth and in my heart, and eventually my heart gets full. It gets an abundance of God's Word. When I speak at that time, wham, it comes out with faith and power, and the Holy Ghost manifests God's Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you start this process of confessing the promises, even if you don't believe it, when you first start confessing it, you eventually will. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You keep saying it, you keep hearing it. You keep saying it, you keep hearing it. You keep saying it, you keep hearing it. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. That means sooner or later it will not be just in your mouth, but also in your heart. When that happens, faith has come, and the power of God will flow into your life. Now, I've done the first one for you here as an example. John 16:23, the last part says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." Y'all have read that verse before, have you not?
Yes.
Everyone already knows that verse is in the Bible. I want you to listen to how differently it impacts you when you say it like this. Say this after me. My Father,
My Father
always gives me,
whatever I ask Him for.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You go around talking like that, faith will get in you to the point you'll almost be afraid what you ask for. When we went to Houston on that campaign, they put us up in that $300,000 place. I liked that place. 6 acres. I mean, the house was nice, but I liked the land even better than I liked the house. Y'all seen Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
Those giant southern live oak trees, you know, with the Spanish moss hanging down. This is all landscaped with little arch bridges over ponds. And you talk about some place to walk and pray.
Yeah.
And it got to the point. It got to the point I was going, "Father, don't let me like this place this much. I know if I ask You for it, You'll give it to me. It's too far from my grandbabies, and it's too far from the prayer center. Help me. I don't want to like it this much."
Don't. We're going to have a hard time getting there on Thursday.
You understand what I'm saying, though? When you confess, I mean, most people right now would be shocked if God answered a prayer.
Uh-huh.
Well, how Pastor Dave put that, he says, When was the last time that you could have submitted enough evidence to prove that God answered a prayer for you? But you get to talking like this. You get to talking like this, you walk around for an hour. My Father always gives, and you're just saying what Jesus said. My Father always gives me whatever I ask Him for in the name of Jesus. Now you confess that for a while, and you get afraid to walk around on 6 acres of beautiful ground in Houston. You're almost afraid you'll ask for it. Because if I ask for it, you'll give it to me. I mean, my mind has been transformed to God won't give me nothing. I'm a slimy dog worm. To I'm a son, and it all belongs to Him anyway. See, the place was for sale. I need to tell that for the tape. I cannot claim another man's property.
That's right.
The place was for sale. Okay? That's how I knew it was $300,000. They have it up for sale. They have a listing sheet there. So, I mean, it would be fine to ask the Father for that. It's up for sale. You see how it changes, though? You're almost afraid. You got to think about it before you ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is for practice. You see how I did that? Let's go back to the example. All I did, I see, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Now, all I did with that was take what Jesus said and act like it's true and write it out like it works for me right now. I picked 3 here for you guys to practice on between now and next Thursday. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means woman too, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, between now and next Thursday, take your little pencil or pen and write that into a now present tense confession just like it's true, like you believe it. Like it's right now. Okay? Second one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, you need to make that personal. You need to walk the floor after you make it personal, a right now today confession, and say that until the day star arises in your heart. You won't be the same human being. You won't be the same. And in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now that's an easy one. That's a gimme. Go on to the confession page. We're going to run out of time. Now, everyone, every week when I do this confession page, if you get stuck, go back and look at how I do it. Because I've got the scriptures right there below it. You can see what I did. Now, sometimes when I start really confessing the Word, normally I start directly with the Word. Okay? Let me see if I can find one here that'll work. Well, I'll just tell you what I'm working on right now. Most of y'all know a physical, external thing that I have that would disqualify me from preaching in most churches. Okay? Anyway, it's an external sin. Okay, I don't comb my hair right. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Well, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. I've got 3 scriptures that I'm walking the floor and I'm saying them an hour a day. One of them is, I also am dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Okay? Now, I noticed after I said that for about the first 20 minutes, everyone say 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Try it.
Try it.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
I asked Angie, where's Angie? I asked Angie to do that one night for 15 minutes. She called me up later and said, my God, that seemed like 2 days. You try it for a little while. But I noticed after I confessed that for about 20 minutes one day, I also am dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Then I noticed it started changing. Also. See, it started grabbing a hold of my mind. I also. Why is that also in there? I also am. You know, and you get the verse, you look at the verse above it. Jesus. It talks about Jesus having already died to sin. Oh, I also, just like Jesus, am dead indeed unto sin. I am alive unto God, just like Jesus. Through the Anointed One, my Lord. It starts affecting you, see? Then I noticed I got to talking to sin. Sin, I'm dead to you. You can't make a dead man do anything. Did you ever try and make a dead man sin? Come on, let's go to the bar. He just lays there. Let's go watch some porno. He just lays there. Here, have a swig of Jack Daniels. He just lays there. Sin can't make a dead man do anything. See? So I started talking to sin. Don't you know I'm dead? What's wrong with you? I'm speaking the truth here, sin. I'm dead to you. You can't make me do nothing. Now, at the time, do I have the manifestation of that? No. No. Do you think the cancer patient, they come home diagnosed with terminal cancer, and they start walking the floor confessing their healing? What do you think? They wait until they have the healing manifested and then confess it? No. You put the promise in your mouth like it's already true. You start speaking it as truth and worshiping God that He cannot lie.
Wow.
And I mean, that will fill your heart, the day will come, you'll walk in that truth. And that's how you possess every promise from God. Hallelujah. I don't mind telling y'all what I'm doing. You'll get to see the fruit of it too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, we only got 15 minutes. Again, the scriptures are here below. All right, the reason I said all that, when you start doing it, after a while, things will start coming up in addition to your printed confession. I noticed I started talking to sin. Good. It's starting to have an effect on you. You're starting to understand now. The day star is starting to arise. Your thinking is starting to get right now. So when that starts happening, let it. Sin, I'm talking to you. You have no dominion over me. I'm not under law, but under grace. That's another one that I'm doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I like that one. How about this one? I do not let sin reign in my mortal body. I do not obey my body in the lust thereof. Puff, puff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What am I supposed to do? Wait till the manifestation comes and then say God's word is true? Or do I say God's word is true and put it in my mouth right now and say it? The manifestation will come.
Amen.
Now that's working things by the power of the Spirit, along with your praying in tongues as He works that mortification in you. But boy, speaking the word of God and any promise that you want from God as present tense truth, the Holy Ghost manifests that. He still manifests the word of God for anybody that will hold to it and not quit. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. I said that, four times. We're really going to go this time. You ready? Say, God has already given me everything.
God has already given me everything.
That pertains to life and godliness.
That pertains to life and godliness.
I already have everything.
I already have everything.
I will ever need.
I will ever need.
I don't perish for a lack of knowledge.
I don't perish for a lack of knowledge.
I have the knowledge of God.
I have the knowledge of God.
I know my Father.
I know my Father.
He has called me to glory and excellence.
He has called me to glory and excellence.
By the way, that's what that word virtue means. If you look it up, He's called us to glory and virtue. You look it up, it means excellence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How'd you like for everything in your life to be excellent?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Was that Ted and whoever's most excellent journey? Well, you can have a most excellent journey through life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has given me.
God has given me.
Exceeding great and precious promises.
Exceeding great and precious promises.
I say with my mouth.
I say with my mouth.
Every promise is true in my life.
Every promise is true in my life.
I claim every promise is mine.
I claim every promise is mine.
I have them.
I have them.
All of them.
All of them.
God is Father to me.
God is Father to me.
My Father provides for me.
My Father provides for me.
I receive everything from God my Father.
I receive everything from God my Father.
Not the world.
Not the world.
My God supplies all of my need.
My God supplies all of my need.
According to His riches in glory.
According to His riches in glory.
By the anointing of Jesus.
By the anointing of Jesus.
Jesus is my connection to the Father.
Jesus is my connection to the Father.
My Father provides everything for me.
My Father provides everything for me.
Because of Jesus.
Because of Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
I keep the Word of God in my mouth all the time.
I keep the Word of God in my mouth all the time.
I say the Word of God all the time.
I say the Word of God all the time.
I keep the Word in my mouth.
I keep the Word in my mouth.
I keep the Word in my heart.
I keep the Word in my heart.
That is the Word of faith.
That is the Word of faith.
Faith pleases God.
Faith pleases God.
My faith pleases God.
My faith pleases
God.
I say what God says.
I say what God says.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Even in front of you.
Even in front of you.
All the time.
All the time.
I don't care if they think I'm weird.
I don't care if they think I'm weird.
I'm weird but blessed.
I'm weird but blessed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm growing stronger every day.
I'm growing stronger every day.
I refuse to remain a baby.
I refuse to remain a baby.
I am graduating from milk to meat.
I am graduating from milk to meat.
I love strong meat.
I love strong meat.
I am skilled in the handling of the word.
I am skilled in the handling of the word.
I know how to receive every promise.
I know how to receive every promise.
All of the promises of God are mine.
All of the promises of God are mine.
As I confess the word.
As I confess the word.
I am training my senses.
I am training my senses.
To know the difference.
To know the difference.
Between good and evil.
Between good and evil.
God's word is truth.
God's word is truth.
Anything contrary to God's word is a lie.
Anything contrary to God's word is a lie.
I believe God.
I believe God.
I believe God's word.
I believe God's word.
All the time.
All the time.
All day.
All day.
Every day.
Every day.
I believe God's word.
I believe God's word.
I am what the word of God says I am.
I am what the word of God says I am.
I can have what the word of God says I can have.
I can have what the word of God says I can have.
And I can do what the word of God says I can do.
I can do what the word of God says I can do.
I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through the Anointed One.
Through the Anointed One.
Who strengthens me.
Who strengthens me.
There is no such thing as can't in my life.
There is no such thing as can't in my life.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I am the head and not the tail.
I am the head and not the tail.
I am above only.
I am above only.
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 And not beneath.
And not beneath.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, that's how you obtain every promise from God. You put it in your mouth. You say it is truth. You say it like you mean it. You mean it like you say it. And you don't take no crap from the devil. The only hope he has, the only hope he has is to get you to believe it's not true for you. That's all he has. Everything he does is trying to get you to stop this. To stop saying it. To stop believing it. That's the only hope the devil has. Everyone say, the devil is hopeless.
The devil is hopeless.
There's no hope.
There's no hope.
He can stop me.
He can stop me.
Because I have God's word.
Because I have God's word.
We got time. Let's do it once more. Amen. Hallelujah. God has already given me everything.
God has already given me everything.
That pertains to life and godliness.
That pertains to life and godliness.
I already have everything I'll ever need.
I already have everything I'll ever need.
I don't perish for a lack of knowledge.
I don't perish for a lack of knowledge.
I have the knowledge of God.
I have the knowledge of God.
I know my Father.
I know my Father.
He has called me to glory and to excellence.
He has called me to glory and excellence.
Glory is in my life.
Glory is in my life.
My life is most excellent.
My life is most excellent.
Thank you. Hallelujah. God has given me.
God has given me.
Exceeding great and precious promises.
Exceeding great and precious promises.
Every promise is true in my life.
Every promise is true in my life.
I claim every promise is mine.
I claim every promise is mine.
I have them.
I have them.
All of them.
All of them.
They're mine.
They're mine.
I've got them.
I've got them.
You may not have them.
You may not have them.
But I got them.
But I got them.
That's for sure.
That's for sure.
I got them.
I got them.
All of them.
All of them.
They're mine, I said.
They're mine, I said.
God is Father to me.
God is Father to me.
My Father provides for me.
My Father provides for me.
I receive everything from God my Father.
I receive everything from God my Father.
Not the world.
Not the world.
Let me interject this real quick. Your job is not your source.
Amen.
God your Father provided that job as only one channel to bless you. But you need to always understand that God gave you that job. Well, no, I went and interviewed and I pounded the pavement. No, listen to me, honey. God gave you that job.
Amen.
You start being unthankful over it, and see, you just might lose it too.
Right.
You'll be asking God for another one, won't you?
Yeah.
It's funny, when you got a job, well, I got a job. Hey, when you don't have one, what do y'all do? Oh, God, I need a job. Okay? God is the provider of your job. Take care of it. The Bible says, in everything you do, do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
And he's talking specifically there about employees. Hallelujah. My God supplies all of my need.
My God supplies all of my need.
According to his riches and glory.
According to his riches and glory.
By the anointing of Jesus.
By the anointing of Jesus.
Jesus is my connection to the Father.
Jesus is my connection to the Father.
My Father provides everything for me.
My Father provides everything for me.
Because of Jesus.
Because of Jesus.
Now I got to say this. My Father loves me.
My Father loves me.
Because I love Jesus.
Because I love Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
I keep the Word of God in my mouth all the time.
I keep the Word of God in my mouth all the time.
I say the Word of God all the time.
I say the Word of God all the time.
I keep the Word in my mouth.
I keep the Word in my mouth.
I keep the Word in my heart.
I keep the Word in my heart.
That is the Word of faith.
That is the Word of faith.
Faith pleases God.
Faith pleases God.
My faith pleases God.
My faith pleases God.
I say what God says.
I say what God says.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
In front of you.
In front of you.
In front of the neighbors.
In front of the neighbors.
I say it to the devil.
I say it to the devil.
I say it to the circumstances.
I say it to the circumstances.
I say it when I get up.
I say it
during the day.
I say it during the day.
I say it at night.
I say it at night.
Other than that, I never say it. But I say it all the time.
I say it all the time.
And I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
It is the power of God.
It is the power of God.
Unto salvation.
Unto salvation.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'm growing stronger every day.
I'm growing stronger every day.
I refuse to remain a baby.
I refuse to remain a baby.
I am graduating from milk to meat.
I'm graduating from milk to meat.
I love strong meat.
I love strong meat.
I am skilled in the handling of the Word.
I am skilled in the handling of the Word.
I'm good at it.
I'm good at it.
I know how to use it.
I know how to use it.
I am a skilled warrior.
I am a skilled warrior.
In the army of God.
In the army of God.
How do I get that way?
How did I get that way?
I went to boot camp.
I went to boot camp.
Hallelujah. All the promises of God are mine.
All the promises of God are mine.
As I confess the Word,
as I confess the Word,
I am training my senses.
I am training my senses.
To know the difference between good and evil.
To know the difference between good and evil.
God's Word is truth.
God's Word is truth.
Anything contrary to God's Word is a lie.
Anything contrary to God's Word is a lie.
I believe God.
I believe God.
I believe God's Word.
I believe God's Word.
All the time.
All the time.
All day.
All day.
Every day.
Every day.
I believe God's Word.
I believe God's Word.
I am what the Word of God says I am.
I am what the Word of God says I am.
I can have what the Word of God says I can have.
I can have what the Word of God says I can have.
And I can do what the Word of God says I can do.
I can do what the Word of God says I can do.
I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through the Anointed One.
Through the Anointed One.
Who strengthens me.
Who strengthens me.
There is no such thing as can't in my life.
There is no such thing as can't in my life.
I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
I'm the head and not the tail.
I am the head and not the tail.
I'm above only.
I'm above only.
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 And never beneath.
Never beneath.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, we thank the Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, y'all got a big problem. I don't know whether you realize it or not yet, but you got a real big problem. After tonight, you don't even bother calling me about Brother Gary. I know God is a healer. And I know Jesus bore the stripes on his back for me, but how do I get God to heal me, Brother Gary. I'm going to, after I drive to your house and smack your face, in love, I'm going to take this tape and I'm going to put it in a recorder and I'm going to jam those phones so far in your eardrums, you're going to have to believe for a healing.
Amen.
And we're not going to let you up until you're saying God's word. Do you understand me?
Amen.
Do you understand what to do? Show of hands.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. Now, if you do it, you'll win every time in every circumstance of life. God has not left any area where there is not a promise to cover it. I don't care what it is. Cancer, lupus, AIDS, poverty, divorce, children problems. I don't care what it is, there is no area where God has forgot to provide for you. Now, if you're not good at knowing the Bible, I suggest to you, to start, you go to Mardell's and buy one of those promise books. You know what I mean by that? What they've done, they've taken the Bible and under different categories like marriage or like healing or like children, or whatever problem, they've even got them tailored for businesses. You business people. They're not very much. Prayers That Avail Much is the classic of all times. If you want God's Word, it's on sale, hallelujah. How much is it?
$19.99.
Oh, no, they got them paperback. No.
She's talking about the three volume.
Oh, three-volume set.
$25.
Okay, but the little one, just the one original, is like $8 or $9 or something. Best money you ever spent in your life. Because not everybody knows where the promises are.
That's right.
See? And I can't do that. Well, in a way, they've done it for you. Okay? It's somewhere to start. But you could take those, like, let me tell you one other thing from a practical point of view. Don't get 19 verses to cover your case. You don't need that. Don't need that. The Bible says, by two or three witnesses, let every truth or every word be established. I always take myself, I like three or four. I like to find three or four that talk to me. I understand those, okay? And I start speaking them as truth, just like I told you all ago. Sin has no dominion over me, puff, puff. You see what I'm saying? But I know, I found the verse that covers my case. And I say it, and I say it, and I say it. So if you're not familiar with where those promises are, go get you one of those promise books and get you a sheet of paper and take them and make them personal for you. Say them as truth. Don't ever stop. How long do I do that, Brother Gary? 10,000 years. And if you get like that, it won't take very long. It won't take very long. You'll have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't sense at all the same anointing here we had last week. So you are dismissed. We have two different kinds of pudding. We have chocolate cake. Hallelujah.
But no coconut.
And we're praying for all fasters. Hallelujah.
Next week.
Hallelujah.